If you have a Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 16 this morning. Psalm 16. You may think of Psalm 16 as an unusual scripture text for me to preach on this special day, but if you bear with me, I think you will come to understand and appreciate its relevance to our celebration of Jesus' resurrection. Psalm 16 is titled A Miktam of David. Psalms 56 through 60 are also called Miktams of David. We don't know exactly what that means, but some scholars believe it means golden. Other scholars claim it means an engraving, something written down as opposed to only spoken. If you put those two ideas together, they may designate something precious enough to be stamped in gold. Of all of the Psalms in the Psalter, this psalm is something special. This psalm is a very personal song. For David uses the personal pronoun my more than a dozen times, saying, my trust, my soul, my Lord, my flesh, my heart, my delight. This psalm is also a very happy song. For David uses words like joy and rejoicing, delight, pleasant, pleasure, glad. And then this psalm is a God-focused worship song, for David expresses his satisfaction in the Lord by saying things like, you are my refuge, you are my goodness, you are my inheritance, you are my counselor, you are my right hand, you are my hope, you are my guide. And then Psalm 16 concludes with a crescendo in verse number 11. If you look there, Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And this morning I submit to you that Psalm 16, verse number 11, can be our experience by faith and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where did that come from? It came from this psalm, and I'll show it to you this morning. From Psalm 16, I prepared a message titled Fullness of Joy by Faith in the Resurrected Lord. Let me pause briefly for prayer and then we'll study together. Oh God in heaven, our hearts have been lifted this morning at the music, at the message of the music that we have heard, that we have sung, by the scripture that we have rehearsed together. And God, now we go deep into the pages of the Old Testament scripture, to the Psalter, to Psalm 16. Lord, and here we look for our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we ask that you would grant us fullness of joy by faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We commit our study to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At the top of your notes, the notes that I prepared for you, printed for you there, perhaps you picked up a copy in the foyer, I've written this, while it may be difficult for some to believe the resurrection of Jesus after the fact, that's us today, David believed the resurrection of Jesus before the fact, prophetically, and for that reason he looked forward to fullness of joy in God's presence. Beginning in verse number 1, Psalm 16, verse number 1, look there and follow as I read. David says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord Yahweh, you are my Lord Adonai, my master sovereign. My goodness is nothing apart from you. I would offer you, number 1, God is the source of all goodness. God is the source of all goodness. How so? In what ways is God good? First, letter A, God is good in that he provides a good refuge. Now, I use the word refuge, for it reflects the reading of verse 1 in both the New American Standard and the English Standard Version. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge, is how it's translated there. Evidently, David was recalling the dangers that threatened him, and he was pleading for God for protection and preservation. And if you know anything about the life of David, you know that he was often in danger, threatened by wild animals. You remember the lion and the bear. David was often threatened by his enemies. We could cite Goliath or King Saul. And David was even threatened by his own family who sought to kill him, of course, his son Absalom. And yet he trusted his well-being, he trusted his preservation to God. God is good because God provides a good refuge. Now, it occurs to me that we live most of our lives in a defensive posture, protecting ourselves against every danger that threatens us. And so if you think about these things, we wear seatbelts so that we don't get hurt in a car crash. In fact, we wear seatbelts so that we don't get hurt in a plane crash, right? We lock our doors so that we are safe at home. We put our hope in science to defeat disease, whether it's essential oils or whether it's a vaccination, you see. We store food and we hoard money and we make plans to protect ourselves from every calamity, and there's nothing wrong with those efforts, but let us know that we cannot preserve or protect ourselves apart from the goodness of God. The very fact that we are here this morning living and breathing in this moment is the goodness of God toward us. And that was David's testimony in verses 1 and 2. I will trust in the Lord Yahweh. I will find refuge in the Lord Adonai. He will preserve me, for he is good. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Letter B, God provides good relationships. God provides good relationships. And David speaks of the saints who are on the earth. For you see, you don't need to be dead to be a saint. You can be alive on earth and be a saint. For saints are those who are set apart to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul addressed the churches in Corinth and Rome as those called to be saints. And here David is finding delight in relationships with the people of God. Now, on the other hand, in contrast to those good relationships among the saints in verse 3, David did not delight in those who followed after other gods in verse number 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood, that is, their sacrifices to those other gods, I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. And folks, I hope that you delight in the people of God. I hope that you cherish and treasure the saints who are among us. For those relationships, your relationships with one another in this place, are the goodness of God to you. And I would even stand before you this morning and testify that God has been good to me. God has been good to me to give to me you. You are God's goodness to me as Christian brothers and sisters. You are my best friends in all the world. And God is the source of all goodness, including our good relationships. Look at verses 5 and 6. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. So let her see, God provides a good inheritance. What is that inheritance? I believe the text here gives us four identifiers from these two verses, and I don't have these as subpoints for you in your notes, but four identifiers of a good inheritance here. First, in verse number 5, we have this notion of a portion. Now, the children of Israel, when they settled in the promised land, God gave them and distributed to them a portion of land for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. However, he did not give a portion of land to the priestly tribe of Levi, but rather God said to Aaron in Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. And I believe here that David is referencing that anomaly, and he is saying that the Lord himself was a better portion for David than the best lakefront property. That God himself was a better portion of inheritance for David than the family estates, the portion. Also there in verse number 5, we have the mention of a lot. Do you see it there? A lot. It's easy for us to interpret lot as a further reference to the portion of property. However, this lot is not a piece of acreage, but It's like the rolling of the dice. It's like the drawing of straws. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 16, the lot is cast into the lap. But it's every decision is from the Lord. And so David here is referencing the sovereignty of God in maintaining the circumstances of his life. If you look there at verse number 6, we have the idea of lines. And once again, this isn't the border lines of a piece of property, but proximity to God's presence. And you ask, well, where did you get that? How do I know that? The word places in verse number 6, if you're looking there, is not in the Old Testament Hebrew text. In fact, the English editors of the New King James Version put the word places in italics to indicate that that word is supplied for us. The single Hebrew word that is translated pleasant places in verse 6 of our English Bibles is the very same Hebrew word translated pleasures in verse 11. Pleasures in verse 11. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So the place is not a piece of property, but it's proximity to the presence of God. And then back again in verse number 5, we have the mention of a cup. The cup. And of course, we're familiar with Psalm 23, where David wrote, "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so, folks, here in this psalm, David is rejoicing in the goodness of God toward him, giving David more than he could contain. And altogether, this good inheritance that David is celebrating in verses 5 and 6 is the full and overflowing presence of a sovereign God in his life. So this morning, I would ask, how about you? How about you? You say, "Pastor, I'm happy for David." You see, that's good and all, but that is not my experience. You might say, "Pastor, my cup is empty. I can't feel the presence of God in my life, and the circumstances of my life don't feel like they're controlled by a sovereign God. Rather, they are the chaotic calamity of bad luck." I'm not sure that God is the source of all goodness, not in my life. And I would ask that you hold that thought in tension for a few moments. We'll circle back to it. Verses 7 and 8, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Letter D, God provides good counsel. God was with David. God was guiding him and instructing him, even in the nights. And God was always with him, giving him direction. And for that reason, David is blessing God and keeping God always before him. So folks, this is a personal song. This is a happy song about the goodness of God. But maybe you're here this morning, perhaps you're listening or watching by way of the live stream, and you find that these expressions to be foreign to you. You see, you've tried religion over and over again many times before. You've attended various churches, but it seems that God is a million miles away to you. It seems that he has left you to fight for yourself, to survive for yourself on your own. In no way can you recognize that God is preserving you at all. So I would offer to you what David wrote in another psalm. In Psalm 34, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And in fact, that's how David began this psalm in verse number 1. "In you I put my trust." Now, you may object in this way. You say, "Okay, Pastor, even if we have witnessed the goodness of God, even if we have experienced the goodness of God in our lives in some ways, what happens when we die?" Because to rejoice in the goodness of God in this life, as David appears to be doing in this psalm, and then to lose all of those benefits in death, that's a bitter pill to swallow, In fact, it was David's own son, Solomon, who lamented of this very thing in Ecclesiastes 2. After all that he had accomplished and after all that he had acquired in his life, and King Solomon had it all, he hated the prospect of dying and losing it all to whomever would come after him. Because if life is a game, when we die, it's game over. What hope is there in that? It's why Paul wrote this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And so physical death is not the end of the story. There is life after death, or life after life. And here now is where we get to the heart of this psalm that is relevant to our celebration of Jesus' resurrection. Look with me at verse number 9. Therefore, because of God's goodness in these previous verses, and because of what he's about to write, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or the grave, or the place of the dead. And I would offer you, number 2, God is the source of all life. God is the source of all life. Now, follow this with me now. David had some degree of confidence in this life in the face of his own death. But he had more than a point of confidence. It was more than a degree of confidence. It was, in fact, gladness and rejoicing and hope if you look at verse number 9. Why could David say the things that he said in verse number 9? Because he trusted in God to preserve him back in verse number 1. Okay? Am I saying that David didn't believe that he would ever die? That's the impression we get from verse number 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. The answer is no, certainly not. David was quite clear that he would, in fact, die. How do I know that? Anytime that it's difficult to interpret or understand Scripture, we compare Scripture with Scripture. We call it cross-referencing. And in this case, if we go back to 2 Samuel 7, God made a covenant with David. And through the prophet Nathan, God said this to David, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, David," you know what that means? David, when you die, "I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So David expected at some point to die and to rest with his fathers. It's common to man to die. In fact, it's one of the few things that are certain in life, right? Death and taxes. David knew that he would die. However, David understood that physical death from this life is not the end of the story. And God made a covenant with David, promising to raise up from him an eternal king. Okay, now, don't lose me just yet. Furthermore, if we are to turn to the New Testament now, we would find that the Apostle Peter used this very psalm, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, as a prophetic reference to Jesus, his resurrection from the grave in Acts chapter 2. And in fact, I'm going to ask you to go there with me now. In your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, please, just briefly. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I'll project the scripture before you on the screen, but I want you to see this for yourself in Acts chapter 2. Number 2, in Acts 2, Peter is preaching in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which is a Jewish holiday that's marked some 50 days after Passover. And here is what Peter said in that sermon, Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22 and follow this. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, because you were there, you saw it, you heard it. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Verse 25, "For David says concerning him," okay? Here now is where the Apostle Peter is going to cite Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. "For David says concerning Jesus Christ the Messiah, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Peter continues his sermon there in Acts 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, not only a king, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ, the Messiah, to sit on the throne. When did God make that covenant promise to David? In 2 Samuel 7. The scripture we read just a moment ago. He, foreseeing this, verse 31, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, or Sheol is the Old Testament word there, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Folks, now follow this. When David wrote his miktum, Psalm 16, David was prophetically pointing forward to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what David wrote back in Psalm 16 transcended the original context and was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, okay, now wait a minute. What did David have in mind? What did David understand when he wrote Psalm 16? Did he know what he was saying? I don't think that David could have fully explained what he wrote at the time. However, he was sure of it. And folks, that is the essence of faith. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting in that which you cannot see. For that reason, the Apostle Peter, who just preached in Acts 2, said this in his first epistle, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. They prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Turn back to Psalm 16. The Old Testament prophets, including David as he wrote Psalm 16, were inquiring of these things, but had full assurance of them, the author to Hebrews says. So, to wrap this up in summary form, Bible commentator Alan Ross has offered this, and I'll read this for you to help us put this together. Preservation from the decaying grave is the idea behind both David's and Jesus' experience. But with David, it came through a deliverance from death, temporarily, from whatever threat he might have been facing at the time, in verse number 1. Whereas with Jesus, it came through a resurrection from death. He goes on to say, death posed no threat to David because he enjoyed great blessing and fellowship with the Lord. God would not permit death and the grave to interrupt that marvelous fellowship. So in a fuller sense, this is true of believers today who, having the full revelation about the doctrine of the resurrection, can say that even when they die, God will not let death destroy that full fellowship they enjoy with the Lord. This expression of faith is possible because Christ conquered death and rose to become the first fruits of all who sleep. Folks, this is amazing. This is a marvelous thing. Because of Jesus' resurrection from the grave, we can sing the miktum of Psalm 16 with David, which concludes, your Bibles are open to Psalm 16, which concludes in verse number 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I would offer you number 3, God is the source of all joy. God is the source of all joy. And folks, verse number 11, Psalm 16, verse number 11 is only possible because of verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. And here's the takeaway for us this morning. David put his faith, his trust in God, knowing that God would preserve the Holy One, the Messiah, the Christ, from death. Look at verse number 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One, your Messiah, your Christ, to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. And the resurrection power of Jesus Christ was the very living hope that David looked forward to. This morning I am submitting to you that David was not hopeless in his life, but rather had full assurance, confidence of eternal life because of the future resurrection of the Messiah from the dead. For hope is not just for life. It's forevermore. In fact, I would ask that you would edit what I've written for you there at the top of your notes. There I've written, while it may be difficult for some to believe the resurrection of Jesus after the fact, that may be you this morning, could it really be? Is it true? Did a man who was crucified and buried rise from the grave 3 days later? That's a difficult thing to believe, perhaps. But David believed the resurrection of Jesus before the fact, prophetically, centuries earlier, and for that reason he looked forward to fullness of joy in God's presence. Here's where you need to edit my statement. You need to add the word forevermore. Forevermore! For eternity! This is what we can look forward to as believers in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, this morning you may be here because it's the expected thing to do on Easter Sunday morning, but know this, that God wants you to experience the fullness of joy in his presence with pleasures forevermore by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you are under the sound of my voice this morning and are not sure of these things, we want to tell you more of the good news of the gospel that saves us from the wages of our sin, which is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, my message to you is that you can have fullness of joy by faith in the resurrected Lord. That was the testimony of David in Psalm 16. And I hope that that is your testimony this morning. If that is not your testimony, I would encourage you after the service to meet me down front. I'll remain here at the front. I would love nothing more than to talk to you and show you from the Scripture how that you can have fullness of joy by faith in the resurrected Lord. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, thank you for the testimony of David. He cried out to you. He prayed that you would preserve him, putting his trust in you, knowing that you are a good God, and prophetically believing in the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. God, there may be some here this morning that have not yet called on the name of the Lord in faith, believing. I pray that you, by your grace, would grant them the faith to believe even today. Lord, for the many who are believers in the death and resurrection of Jesus, I pray that you would give them that full assurance, and that we might all look forward to the fullness of joy that we might have in your presence forevermore. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.